Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Here in our studio today, we have Sister Kira Betcher, who just recently returned from the Arizona Tucson mission. Welcome, Sister Betcher. It's good to have you here today.
Thank you. So good to be here.
Today, we want to talk a little bit about your mission and just your experiences. So let's just start back 18 months ago. You got your call and you were ready to go to Arizona, which really isn't that far from where you're from. Tell me your feelings about that.
Honestly, I was super disappointed. In my farewell talk, I spoke a little bit about this, but when I was waiting for my mission call, I said a prayer to Heavenly Father and told him that I would be happy with wherever he sent me, that I really wanted to go serve a foreign mission and I wanted to learn Spanish, but if I needed to stay in the United States, it was okay. But I had three places that I just didn't want to go within the United States, and that was Utah, Idaho, and Arizona. And I said that prayer, and then actually the night before I got my mission call, I had a dream that I was opening my mission call, and I was kind of expecting to get my call the next day. And in that dream, I opened it up and I read it and I got called to Arizona, and I woke up from the dream and I was, instead of being like, oh, that must have been a sign, I was super relieved and I was like, oh, it was just a dream. Thank goodness. And then I opened it that night and read Tucson, Arizona. And I remember just looking up at my mom, like, you have got to be kidding me, and wanted everybody out of my house because I just wanted to cry for a little. And I did for a few days. I really cried. And even up until I left, I was trusting in the Lord. I knew and understood that where I was called was where he wanted me and that it would all be okay. But I still left with feelings of, I don't know why I'm called to Arizona. Why does it have to be Arizona? But just kind of moving forward with, all right, well, we'll go figure it out.
So at what point did you come to grips with, I accept this? Was it when you were in the mission field already or before you left? Or
I think it was before I left that I accepted it. It was definitely within the mission that I was like, I feel like I have more of an understanding of why I'm here, that the understanding came later. But the accepting, I think, came within a month of receiving my call and praying about it. I felt like I just wanted to serve and that's what I was showing the Lord by moving forward.
So what do you think the thing was that got you to that point?
I think it was a lot of prayer. And I think that throughout my whole life, I've been thrown challenges and trials that are oftentimes situations where I feel like I have a plan for myself, where I feel like I have righteous desires, right? Serving a mission, super righteous desire. Serving in a foreign mission, also still a righteous desire. There's a lot of people that don't feel comfortable with that. And I felt like I was offering that up to God as like, I can do this, like I'm willing to do this. And I've seen throughout my life that oftentimes when I have those desires and I place them before the Lord, that I don't receive them and that he throws me the complete opposite thing that I want. And so because of that, as hard as that was throughout high school and everything, I feel like it really prepared me to just be like, no, I've trusted in God before. I've submitted my will to his before, and I've seen how it's helped me grow and change. And this is just doing that again. Mm-hmm.
So you talked about you were willing to learn like a foreign language. That never happened. But when you got on the mission, you were probably still having that desire to say, I'm willing to learn. What kind of things do you feel like you learned? It's a really vague question, I know, but just try to think to yourself, what kind of things do you feel like you learned that were really important for you to learn?
That's a really good question. Two of the first things that came to my mind were humility, first of all, and charity. There's something so humbling about leaving everything you know behind, every way that you've been taught growing up to cope with stress and trial and hardship, and completely submitting yourself to God and His will, and accepting the fact that you cannot be an effective missionary without His help and without the gift of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit guiding you, was extremely humbling and something that I had to learn extremely quick in the mission, because otherwise you're left with panic and you feel like you can't get a grip on it. So definitely humility, and then charity for sure. I so appreciate the opportunity that I had to serve and feel Jesus Christ's love for complete strangers and people that oftentimes I would sit back and I would think about and say, if I wasn't in this position, I would never have been able to connect with this person. I never would have put myself out there to connect with them because of own judgments and hesitation on my part. And so it was such a gratifying experience to be able to do that, to connect with strangers, and then also to just feel how much Heavenly Father loves those strangers, those people. It's mm-hmm. It's been something that since returning home has still been eye-opening, even to just see people on the streets and be like, I don't know them, but I know that God loves them because I felt that for 18 months.
That's great. You talk about connection. When you're on your mission, did you feel like you connected closely with anyone? Who was that? Tell us that story of mm-hmm. how that connection was built and how it came to fruition.
I know that this is probably like a classic cliche answer, but I've definitely felt myself connect with my Savior for sure. I talked about this a little bit in returning home. I shared this with my family and with some people in the mission as I was preparing to leave. But for the first half of my mission, really felt like I didn't want to change, and I didn't want to come home and be awkward and to have to adjust back to normal life. And so because of that, for the first 9 months of my mission, I feel like I really avoided the Savior and His grace and mercy and allowing us to be refined and to be changed, because that was something that was scary for me. And when I did come to my 9 month mark, my halfway point, I was self-reflecting for some reason, and just thinking about the time I had spent serving and the things that I had done, and kind of asked myself that if I was to be called home, if I was to return home at that moment, would I be satisfied with my work? Would I be happy with what I had done as a missionary? And ultimately the answer was no. And I then took that moment to think about why that was, and really realized that I hadn't let Jesus Christ in, and I hadn't come as close to Him as I wanted to or hoped to, and that a major part of that was because I was avoiding it. And after reflecting on that, I was prompted to let that go. I was prompted to be open to change and to let fear aside, let worry about judgment aside. And I truly feel like I let the Savior change me into who He wanted me to be. And when I did that, I felt connected to Him. I felt His love for me first, which then became pivotal in allowing me to share that with others. Because how am I to preach change and to teach people repentance, which is change, and not do it myself?
Wow. Thank you so much for being vulnerable, you know, with our audience, because as you think about, you know, you're right. You know, we've all got to do that. We should all have those wake up moments. Mm-hmm. After your wake up moment, after you decided to do that, what kind of differences did you see the most in your work?
Yeah. I think that it just really opened me up to let go of expectation and to enjoy every day for what it was and for the true gift that it is. I am baffled at the fact that Christ and that our Heavenly Father trusts 18, 19, 20-year-old kids enough to represent Him and to be instruments in His hands. And I think once I finally let Christ changed me. It made me truly step back and appreciate every minute that I got to spend wearing his name on my chest, which is time that I will never forget and always appreciate, because it has shaped me into somebody better. And I struggled a lot with expectations of myself and what I thought that the mission should be prior to that point. And when I finally was like, okay, God, this isn't my mission, this is your mission, and I'm just here doing it for you. So whatever it needs to be, whatever you need me to be or do, I'm going to do it. And it was so liberating and refreshing to just let go and to just listen to what God wanted me to do. And it just made the biggest difference. It made me love the work, not because I felt like I needed to love the work, but because I really did, because I could feel how much Christ loved me for doing it.
That's awesome. What kind of differences did you see between your expectations of what you thought the mission would be compared to what the mission was?
Well, so I started my mission prior to COVID-19 breaking out. And so when I was coming out, I was ready to knock doors. I was ready to just be talking to everybody, to be teaching and baptizing, right? That's every missionary's dream. And I started my mission and I was sent to a more rural area of Arizona, kind of outside of Tucson, called Thatcher, Arizona. And it's a small farm town full of members of the church. Mm-hmm. It's a literal mini Idaho, or like, it reminds me a lot of Rexburg. There's mm-hmm. a small junior college there. And so tracting, knocking on doors was not effective at all, because 4 out of 5 doors you knock on are already members of the church. Mm-hmm. And the one that isn't has already had frequent contact with the church and isn't interested in 2 missionaries knocking on their door and trying to teach them what they feel like they've already seen. And so that was extremely frustrating for me. And I also was opening a brand new area. So this teaching pool didn't exist when I got there because we were starting it up. And so there, my expectations of we should be teaching and talking to everybody was also not met. And I remember for the first 2 weeks of my mission, I was felt with like panic that I had no idea what I signed up for, and that I felt like mm-hmm. I wasn't doing it and I wasn't making God proud, and that I wasn't a good missionary because I wasn't doing A, B, and C. And I remember talking to my parents on a P day that we had and sharing this with them. And my dad, he asked me if the thoughts that I was thinking about myself, if they were what the Savior would ever think of me or was thinking of me. And as I thought about that, I was like, of course not. Like I'm being way hard on myself, and Christ would never think of my efforts to find and teach his children as wasteful or not good enough, as long as I'm doing my best. And he also really caused me to think about what is missionary work. And I learned over the course of my mission that missionary work is anything that we do to help people feel the love of Jesus Christ, whether that be with members of the church already or with non-members. And yeah, that does mean talking to strangers a lot of the time, but it can be service. It can be sitting in meetings and getting organized. And there's so much more to missionary work than just being out and talking to people. That's a huge part of it. But if we don't do the other things, the effectiveness is lost. And so it was something that I had to learn quickly, but I'm grateful I did, because I feel like it truly did help me be much more like effective and efficient missionary, as opposed to just a hardworking missionary.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing to teach, because I think a lot of youth might, and even adults, you know, don't realize that there's more to missionary work.
Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of missionaries going out are caught off guard, why it is so hard, because I feel like it's not something that's talked about a lot, that there's more to it, right? And that it is hard, but it's definitely something that once you realize and get a grasp on helps change the mission. At least it did for me.
That's great. So, you know, a lot of youth might be listening to this. Some of them are preparing for missions. What do you think you did that helped you prepare the most for your mission?
That's a good question. The biggest thing that helped me prepare was just learning to trust God, to get in a habit of humble prayer, and also get in a habit of listening to answers and trying to recognize the voice of the Spirit and being willing to do whatever God prompts us to do, because that's fully what a mission experience is letting God direct you in his work and following through on promptings and direction that he does give you.
That's great. If you could do it all over again, and if you could choose one day to relive of your mission, what would that day be? Give me that information in detail. Why would you choose to relive it?
Man, there's so many good days. In my first area that I served in, there was a couple that we began teaching that was referred to us by members of the church. And the husband of this couple was an 81, 82-year-old man who was a member of the church, hadn't been active for 30 years. And his wife was from the Philippines. They had been married for about 20, 25 years. And she grew up Catholic and was very devout and religious and loved God. And her husband was kind of against that. He'd taken a step back, which was surprising to not only us, but the community, because this man's son was our stake president, as well as president of the small junior college that was in that town, a very well-known man and member of the church. And so when this couple was referred to us, it was a challenge for sure. This man would cough the entire time we would talk to them. He had like an anxious cough, and being around
it wasn't
us,
like on purpose, right?
No, it was like an anxious cough that that would happen every time we visited him, and it made talking to them impossible. And it was also very clear that he wasn't interested in the gospel. And my companion and I remember we left that appointment and we got back and we were like, what are we gonna do about this? And we just decided to pray and ask God that the next time we went over, that he would feel more comfortable with us and that we could at least just talk to them. It didn't have to be about the gospel. It could be about him and their life. And the next time we came back, he barely coughed at all. And then the next time we came back, he didn't cough at all. And he was showing us important parts of his life and souvenirs from trips that he had taken and time in I think he was in the Navy, and different things like that, that just really began to show us that he was starting to not only trust us, but to like us, to love us. And that continued to develop over the course of about 2 months, and to the point where we were then showing church videos and leaving with a prayer and inviting him to pray and getting really close to getting him to come to church. Christmas Sunday, we almost had him. I remember in that lesson, I invited him to church and it was just silent for like a minute, and he eventually said no. But I felt the Spirit so strongly in that moment tell me that, like, not this week, but soon. And sure enough, about a week or 2 weeks later, my companion and I got a call from our stake president, his son. And he said, sisters, my father has committed to come to church this week.
Wow.
And this has happened before, and I don't want to get my hopes up, but right now it's looking pretty good.
Oh, wow.
And sure enough, that Sunday, he and his sweet wife came to church for the first time in 30 years. And I got to sit on that church bench with them and watch his son with his arm around his father that he had been waiting for this moment for years. Got to watch them partake of the sacrament together. And that was such a tender, tender moment for me on my mission, because it made me realize how gratifying, how rewarding missionary work is, and how powerful the Spirit is in changing hearts. And so that would probably be that day at church would probably be the day that I would relive and want to be at again, because it was just such a tender experience where I truly felt like, or felt how much Christ loved those two, how much he loved that family. And I was just so grateful that I could have any part in making that happen, that Christ would trust me enough to be the person that would open those doors.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for sharing that. What do you think was the hardest part of your mission? You know, because you hear people say, oh, missions are great, but in real life, it can't always be great. There's going to be some ups and downs, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. So you've talked about some great ups. What was tough for you?
Probably what was toughest for me is saying goodbye to everything that's ever helped you in life cope with stress and with anxiety, and to be completely dependent on the Savior and on the Spirit. And that was something that took a lot of practice to learn. And I feel like people should talk about the hard more, just so that young missionaries aren't going out expecting this beautiful, positive, happy experience for 2 years to 18 months to 2 years, because it is. It's so amazing, and it's the best experience ever, but it's because it makes you grow so much, and you never in your life will experience that type of growth in such a short amount of time. And that's what makes it amazing, because it's so rewarding to see and to feel, but it's hard. And it really is. Not talking to your family is hard. Living a set schedule every day is hard. And sometimes it can be boring and tedious, and having people cancel appointments when mm-hmm. you then have to scramble to figure out how to effectively fill that hour of your day. It's stressful, but it's so rewarding, and it's something that when you finish, you can look back and say, wow, I did that. I really did that. And I felt Christ strengthen me through it all. So that was probably the hardest on top of the pandemic mm-hmm. yeah. coming out for sure.
Yeah. So what kind of things did you do to cope with stress? Because, you know, right during the pandemic, everybody's dealing with stress. What did you do as a missionary?
I just talked to people. I've grown up always being open and one to talk about my feelings a lot. And when I do, and when I can just share pieces of me or thoughts that I have, it's relieving for me. And so I confided in companions a lot. I was super blessed to have great companions, and exercise as well. My morning exercise was a lifesaver sometimes. So probably those things.
Is there anything that you think that you would want to say to people who would listen to this podcast? What do you think is the most important message that you would want to give them?
Probably to open yourself up to the Savior's love, to pray to feel it for yourself and pray to feel it for others, and to let that love change you so that you can help others feel that same change, because that's something that I've been trying to learn my whole life. And as I do each and every day, I feel one step closer to him. And I feel like that's something that we're all anxious to feel, especially in this time that we're living in. And I just know that, that's something that's helped me so much.
We've talked a lot about change today. Why do you think Kira Boettcher is better because of the change from serving a mission?
I think Kira Boettcher has a lot more empathy and awareness for people and their circumstances in their life. It's so much easier now to look at somebody and to just feel love for them and to feel whatever pain or struggle that they're going through. Even if I don't know it, I can look at someone on the street and be like, they have things going on in their life. They have trials, they have hardships just like I do, and God loves them just like he loves me. And although I'm not perfect in showing that all the time, and there's so many ways I can be better, I feel like just getting a glimpse and having the chance to do that for the past 18 months has helped me be a better person, a kinder person, and a more accepting person, which I feel like we all need to be more loving, more kind, and more accepting. And I think that that's something that the Savior is anxiously trying to teach us with everything that's been going on in the world the past 18 months, 2 years.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Beautifully said. Thank you very much. Sister Betcher, you know that missionaries have the opportunity to share their testimony often. Would you mind sharing your testimony with us today?
Yeah, of course. I have such a strong testimony of Jesus Christ. I feel like I said his name probably the most in this podcast, every sentence, but that's because I know how central he is to God's plan and to our lives, and that he is the source of change and hope and light and life, and that if we will give ourselves to him, if we will surrender our will to his, that he can shape us and transform us into something and into someone that we could never do ourselves. And that is scary to do and it's hard to do, but it's part of this life. It's what God wants us to learn, and we're not asked to do it alone. We get to have our Savior holding our hand as we do that. And I know that God is real, that he hears and answers prayers, and that he has desires to speak to his children and to guide them if we'll listen. And a huge way that he does that is through the scriptures. I gained such a strong testimony of the Book of Mormon as I read it and studied it, and just felt love as I read its pages. And I know that it's true. I know that no wicked man could have write a book that's so pure and so good. And that's what the Book of Mormon is. I know it was inspired of God, and I know that this is his church, that it's been restored, and that Christ is at the head of it, and that he speaks to us through prophets today, just like he did in times of old, and that he loves us so much. And I just say that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. We just appreciate you being here and sharing your testimony, sharing your experiences with us. What an awesome time to have to grow. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you so much.
And if you have questions for Sister Betcher, you can always email us at familystorypodcast.com or go ahead and leave a message on our Facebook page. Sister Betcher, we appreciate you coming home, and we welcome you home.
Thanks
for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.